On this week's episode of the We've Seen That podcast, we're talking about Dune. I'm Scott.
And I'm Jim.
Music. We are back. We have completed the Halloween bonanza, and Jim is back as well this week. But more importantly, I don't want to steal your thunder there, Jim. But we have a very, very special guest this week. Our recurring guest friend Adam is back. Welcome back, Adam. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks, guys.
I'm willing to take it. If someone's more important than me, it's Adam or Anthony.
I don't know about that. This is my 11th episode, so pretty exciting.
I feel like
better track of this than we are.
This was destiny for him to come on for this, because we've been hyped for this movie for what feels like 3 years, but it's only been about two.
Since it was announced, I would say it was about 3 years.
Yeah, because this goes back to when all three of the boys were working together, and that is no longer the case.
I was getting hyped for this movie last summer because it was supposed to come out last fall, and I read the whole book. I was all ready, and then it got delayed multiple times, and now here we are over a full year later, and we finally got to see it.
Yeah.
I officially put a hold on the book at the library, so I'm going to try and get a little culture.
Do they not have it? Is that one of the situations of this
It's
library?
Checked out right now. And I use an app where you can download Kindle books from the library, so I don't have to actually go there.
Okay. Well, hey, dude, I cannot remember the last time I was at a library.
Did we say what we're talking about? We're talking about Dune.
Yes, yes. I mean, you'll see it in the episode title.
Oh, that's fair.
But
all right.
We are talking about Dune. But yeah, and actually, I think two of us went to the theater for this. Jim, did you go to the theater for this?
I did not end up going to the theater because I'm a slacker.
That's okay. That's all right. Well, let's get it right into it. Let's start with what we're watching. And Adam, since you've been away from us for a while, why don't you lead us off?
Yeah, I've been watching a whole bunch of stuff, so I don't know how much time I want to take here. I did also go to the theater and see the new James Bond movie, so I guess I'll hit that because Marcus.
Hell yeah, baby.
I saw No Time to Die. It's a long movie. You had a lot of time to die. The joke we've made before when the trailers came out and
it
stuff.
It stands.
But, it stands. It was good. So it's Daniel Craig's last one. It's his fifth one. And I think I would put it as third best. So just middle of the pack.
Okay.
After
Casino Royale, Skyfall. Skyfall, No Time to Die.
I feel like that's actually a little bit of a hot take to put Casino Royale above Skyfall. But
I've seen
it. It was a good movie.
They're very close in my eyes. It's 1A, 1B kind of thing. But yeah, it was good,
yeah,
not great.
Good.
I did think it was a good send-off for Daniel Craig. I won't spoil anything, but I liked the cap they put on it. I didn't love Rami Malek as the villain. Not great.
I was nervous about that.
Yeah.
And I have... This is right... This lines up with everyone I've known who's seen this. Like, right in that 7 out of 10 range is kind of where I'm...
Yeah,
it.
that's probably where I'm sitting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going with the 7 for it.
Sure. So that's that. Other than that, I've been watching a bunch of TV. Season 3 of HBO's Succession is 2 episodes in, and it continues to fucking rule. So everyone should watch that. That's just a flat recommendation for anyone. It's the best prestige TV I've seen.
Okay, we have breaking news calling in to the world's most famous podcast right now. Our fourth member of the tonight show, Anthony, is here. Anthony, what would you like to say to the people?
I made it. So sad I cannot be there in person because this is going to be an epic pod. Dune was fucking awesome. Adam's there picking up my slack as usual. That'll be great. Can't wait to listen. Dune, fucking, I can't give it a 10 yet. It's a 9 for me. I'm going to need to see kind of how the rest of the story plays out to call it a true masterpiece or put it up there with like something like Lord of the Rings yet, but I fucking loved it. I want to read the books now. It was epic. Everything you want in a movie and the return to the theaters. What did I watch? I watched Halloween Kills. I liked the 2018 one better. I gave Halloween Kills a 5 out of 10.
That is a spicy take.
Enough. A lot of kills that were fucking awesome. Can't wait to see how they conclude that story. Oh, God, Scott, what else was there?
He
just fucking tanked Halloween's average.
Jim.
Oh, Jeepers Creepers trailers.
Yeah. I'll hit that up in hype. Don't you worry.
Fucking 15 seconds bullshit. We don't know how it's going to be yet. It looks okay, I guess, but they've done that to us before. Who knows?
I don't know. We'll talk about that in hype porn because I've got a take on that, believe me.
All right, can't wait.
All right,
so anyway, for the people, thanks for listening. I'm about to go get pissed drunk. Got to go to the Badger-Hawkeye game tomorrow with a bunch of Hawkeye fans. Should be fun. Can't wait to kick their fucking ass. Go Bucky!
All right, see you later, bud.
See ya.
All right, he was coming in hot there, and obviously...
What an electric personality, for real.
Anyway, Adam, please... what I was going to ask of Succession there was, Cassie and I are in a need of a show right now. Is this a good gender-neutral show?
Yes. If she's into this kind of show. It's very prestige TV. It's very... You know, like early seasons of Game of Thrones where some episodes there would be like no action.
Sure.
It's all just politics and people plotting.
Yeah.
Because it's modern day like finance culture, it's all that. Just politicking, plotting to get the edge up on someone, lawyers backstabbing, etc. It's all that stuff.
Okay.
So if she's into that, like high quality drama, no action, maybe some dark comedy of how these rich people are fucking it up for everyone else and, like, nothing matters except their own little world. There's some comedic moments for sure.
I can see
but
it.
But it's mostly drama.
I think this might be our next show. That's why. I've been vetting it for a while, so I'm pretty excited.
It's amazing.
I've heard nothing.
The first two seasons were both 10s out of 10, and the first two episodes of season 3 have been very good as well. So
like it.
We'll see where
I tried watching the beginning of season 1 with Angie, and I will tell you it didn't land, but I can't say whether or not that's accurate for Cassie.
Didn't land for you
burn.
Or for Angela?
I thought it was pretty good. It didn't land for Angie.
Yeah, it's a very slow burn, and it is a lot of talking and dialogue.
Like Mad Men.
And she likes to have a hero a little bit more than
yeah,
I do.
Yeah, kind of like
and,
Mad Men.
And the very first, I think maybe we watched 2 episodes, and there is not a truly hero character
among
any of the cast.
They're all terrible people.
Love it. I'm in.
But it's great. People should watch it.
Okay. All right.
The last thing I guess I'll hit is the sensation sweeping the globe. I did watch Squid Game, the entire thing. I thought it was very good. Maybe like an 8 out of 10. It wasn't amazing. Didn't maybe stick the landing, but I think it's worth watching. I think people should watch more foreign content. I watched it in Korean with subtitles. I watched a clip of the English dub over, which is not great and is even weirder for live action. Like, I can stand it with some animated stuff, but live action dubs are very weird, so I would recommend just put the subtitles on.
Fuck!
What the fuck?
Watch in Korean. So yeah, watched it in Korean with subtitles. I think it's very good, especially the first, like, I think it's 9 episodes total. It's the first, I mean, the whole thing is very good. Just, like, the very end, maybe, I wish would have cleaned up a little better. Some shows have a lot of plot threads that they need to close out, and maybe drops the ball on a couple. But I thought it was very good. I think it deserves the praise it's getting. It's about capitalism, basically, and struggles to... that would make you do something like, I'm sure everyone's seen the memes, join a game where you could get killed and,
yes.
And try to win money.
Yes.
So I would recommend it.
Okay.
I liked it a lot.
Right.
Is that game called Life?
Oof.
That is the metaphor, yes.
Yikes. All right, Jim, let's go to you. What have you been watching this week?
I only have one thing that I've been watching on my own, and truly when I say on my own, I mean with Angie. We get back to our basic roots in terms of TV shows right now, and we're watching the original run of CSI from 2000.
Wow.
We had watched the first two episodes of the new one, CSI Vegas, which is the reboot of this show. And really, I mean, it's your procedural crime drama. I think these early episodes have a really tough time because there's like four CSIs and a manager of them, Gil Grissom. So they are running like three or four cases in every single episode, which is a lot of like quote unquote action, even though it's network TV, you don't get to see it on screen. And I feel like that actually hurts the show because you don't get to see the characters interact with each other because they're all split up all the time. So that seems to change from my recollection of later seasons. Mm-hmm. So once we get into that, hopefully we'll see more of the interaction of the characters, which I like.
Is this your favorite crime show, or was there one higher?
I would say that as far as procedural crime dramas go, this is probably the highest one for me. You know, it's kind of the original, I think, truly, other than if you really look back at classics like, say, Magnum P.I. or the original run of Hawaii Five-0.
Sure.
Also, did you guys talk about what we're watching when I was off last week?
We did not.
Interstellar's a fucking 10 out of 10.
That was,
it's an amazing movie.
Anthony was waiting to talk about that with you, but he was pretty pumped about that.
Interstellar rules.
Tell the little bastard not to go to a Badger game.
Well, he kind of forgot. He kind of was just like, hey, I'm not coming on tomorrow. And I was like, fuck, that's right. I forgot to.
One.
All right. And to finish up with what we're watching, I got to talk about it. We started I Know What You Did Last Summer. And Jim, have you seen a show like this? Like,
I have not.
This show is just...
I swear to God, this entire movie was made on TikTok.
Oh my God. Like, okay, Adam, I know I've told you a couple things over text. Obviously, OnlyFans is involved, because why wouldn't it be? Obviously, there's a girl who's been dealing drugs for what seems like the majority of her life, and she's clearly 17. Their kids are doing drugs, and the parents are just at an adult party while the kids are doing drugs in the same house.
Yeah, because at least they can keep an eye on them doing drugs and drinking.
And just, of course, like... there's a switcheroo with the twin that is involved, and that's basically the whole premise of the show. And I'll let you decide if you want to watch it or not, but that's the big twist.
I will not be watching.
Oh, this show.
It's included with your Prime subscription, though.
It's just horrific, some of the shit that's in this so far, and it's only getting worse. Wait till episode 6, Jim. Believe me, it gets worse.
Yeah, I'm the worst because I'm behind. I've only watched episodes 1 through 4.
Yeah. And then I only watched one other thing, and that is The Gallows Part 2. I bet you're wondering what The Gallows even is. It's a horror movie that back in college, I don't know how I did this, but there was a hype surrounding the original Gallows that came out. And I think this was in 2014, actually. I think this was all the way back in 2014, maybe 2015. I convinced our entire college dorm to go to this movie. There were like 40 of us in the theater going to The Gallows because I was hyping it up like it was the next great horror franchise.
You definitely have that, like, cult leader.
I do, and I don't realize it. That's what I... from. And this, like, watching the part two and how fucking bad it is made me kind of sit there and be like, wow, I really subjected some people to some shit there. But, I mean, we had fun. It was, like, a bad horror movie. It was good. My buddy Dan threw popcorn behind him on purpose. You know, it was fun, but bad. Movie's bad. Gallows Part 2, 1 out of 10.
Oof.
1
Love to hear
out
it.
Of 10. Let's just say it's a movie about a girl who's trying to be a good actress, and she's a bad actress in real life. So it's just really ironic. It's really fucking bad. So
I kind of like that,
yeah,
honestly.
I mean,
just layers.
It's kind of
layers of irony.
It's like they get it.
Lots of dissect there.
It's like they get it, but they don't. That's the hard part. So if they would have steered into it, I would have felt better, but they didn't. So Anyway, what is this noise I hear in the faint? There it is, the hype horn.
Hell yeah. Jim, you know what we have to start with, right?
You tell me, what do you want to start with?
Dune Part 2, baby!
And yes, announced for 2023 in October.
So we have to wait 2 years?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Because it just got greenlit. It's not like...
There's no fucking way that actually hits that release date.
So there was potential plan that Zendaya was only in the whole thing for 7 minutes? Like,
yes. In this first one, she only had 7 minutes of screen time.
So they weren't fully banking on a part two?
No. Warner Brothers said they needed to see the box office numbers first.
Holy shit. That would have sucked.
So I was worried. I've been preaching this movie's praises without even seeing it just because of the trailers and the book. Mm-hmm. And Denis Villeneuve, the director. And it seems to have made at least enough money to get the sequel, and I'm happy.
It only made $40 million opening weekend, but I think for like COVID, that's a freaking home run.
For COVID and for a hard sci-fi 2.5 hour long epic, that's not bad. Because
yeah.
Villeneuve's last movie is Blade Runner 2049, which is another hard sci-fi, in my opinion. 9 or 10 out of 10, and it made basically no money.
Yeah,
it was a huge flop, but it's an amazing film.
Okay,
so
yeah, well,
I was worried, but we're getting the rest of the story.
I mean, you have to after that first one. I mean, you kind of get the Fellowship of the Ring vibes of like we're going on a fucking adventure, and yeah. If we just stopped, that would have been blue balls hard right there.
That would have been rough. Yeah, but. I'm hyped for that.
I have this like conspiracy theory that Legendary knew they were getting a sequel and they let this news out now to drive people to theaters.
I've seen that as well. See, get fans to preach the good word because they want the sequel, and then get more people to see it in theater to make the money, even though they were going to do the sequel anyway. But
so what happened?
Yeah, that is 100% what I thought, especially when they did Dune subtitle Part 1 right in the title card.
So. Like, go through this with me for a bit, guys, because I'm curious. Do you think that obviously COVID is a huge reason why movie tickets are down, but do you think this hit the audience of people not like us? Like, we would always have gone back because we freaking love movies, but do you think this hit that audience where they don't really love going to movies and now they're just never going to go again? Is that what you think is happening?
I think that there's definitely a group of people who are, if there's stuff available on streaming day one, they don't care enough.
Yeah,
and for certain movies, I think I agree with them. This one I needed to see in the theater personally because I respect Villeneuve's vision, and this was a huge audiovisual experience. But like, there's a Netflix movie coming out like next week that's also coming out in theaters. It's called Red Notice. It looks like a dumb action movie with Ryan Reynolds and The Rock. I'm not going to the theaters for that. I'll watch it at home.
Watch that at home.
But Dune, I was going to the theaters no matter what.
That was like the fucking Tenet for me, too. Had to see that in theaters. Well, you had to.
What I will say in defense of not having watched it in a theater, I did go down to the basement for the good surround sound and good TV. Got the Dolby Atmos. 4K, it was beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, visually great. We'll get there.
We'll talk about that. But yes, hyped Dune Part 2. Formally greenlit.
Other hype. Ryan Gosling is going to play Ken opposite Margot Robbie's Barbie.
That is a...
Is this hype?
I just thought it was a terrifying thought.
I don't know if it's live action or what. I didn't look
anywhere. They just make some really attractive babies. That's all I can say.
It's true. I don't have much to say about this. I don't know why they're making this movie, but
I feel like
it's kind of the reaction I expected, but I felt I needed to say something.
I feel like Ryan Reynolds could be a pretty funny Ken. And I honestly
Ryan Gosling.
Oh, fuck.
Who also has good comedic chops. Wow. Like let's not undercut that.
Everybody should watch The Nice Guys. It's amazing.
Okay. All right.
There's a two-episode premiere coming November 24 on Disney Plus for The Hawkeye Show.
I could care less.
Yeah, the teaser they released was a waste of air.
It looks fine. I like Hailee Steinfeld. I'm excited to see her in the MCU. But other than that, meh.
She does have some bangers.
Can't wait for her to sing.
She does have some bangers, though. She does.
I wasn't disagreeing. That wasn't sarcasm in the slightest.
Okay.
Sarcasm that she won't absolutely won't sing in
the show.
She
is also an amazing actor. True Grit and Edge of 17 are great performances from her.
Oh, she's in Edge of 17. Yeah.
She's the main character.
That's right. All
right. Yeah. Next, we have the Lightyear teaser. Chris Evans plays Buzz Lightyear on a mission to space. Like, it's the backstory to a toy.
Okay. I mean,
I am not sold on this.
I saw this trailer. I feel like this one's gonna make us cry. Like, that was my first thought when I was watching the trailer. I was like, this shit's gonna get emotional, isn't it? Like, and I saw Pixar.
Toy Story is becoming This Is Us of movies.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of true.
You will not find a bigger Toy Story fan than me. When I was a kid, I had literally every single toy. Like, even the little ham with the piggy bank with the cork. It was a branded Toy Story piggy bank with the cork that popped out.
Did you have the Slinky Dog?
I had the Slinky Dog. I had the little green RC car with the little wheel on the thing. I had literally every toy from the movies. And I do not care at all about this movie.
Shit.
It doesn't...
It's unnecessary for sure. I mean, like, we can, we just did Toy Story 4 like 2 years ago, so
and that one was already a little unnecessary.
It was 100, I mean, Toy Story a 3 little? Was the best possible ending you could have ever written, ever.
4 was still a good movie, good film. Fun. I have no problems with it, but it was unnecessary. But this one, it's just nothing about it looked that impressive to me.
You always got to fuck with Pixar though. Like, you have to give it a chance, I feel like, because they have rarely made a...
I don't know, they've got some misses. Yeah. Not many, but they have some. Yeah,
that's true.
Next type we have is there's a Quiet Place video game in development for release in 2022. This will not follow the Emily Blunt, John Krasinski storyline. It is just set in the same universe.
Well, I hope not, because that story would be short. Because he dies.
This specifically was here for Anthony, and Adam has to sub in as video game nerd.
Do you know who's making it?
I don't fucking know.
I'm just trying to picture what this game is. Like,
do you have to be quiet?
I think about a lot of forced stealth mechanics that sound awful.
Yeah, you would almost think it has to be a stealth game, and you have to, like, avoid things that make noise and avoid the monsters
and
stuff.
It's just like The Last of Us.
There's 100% a meter on the side of your screen that goes up and down for how much noise you're making.
It could very much be like The Last of Us, but I doubt it'll be anywhere close to that quality. Right. So, I don't know.
Being made by Saber, Interactive, Illogica, and Epitome.
Illogica.
I don't recognize any of those devs, so...
I didn't either.
Yikes.
I don't know. Maybe it'll be good. Who knows?
It's movie adjacent news, and I endeavor to bring those things
to
you.
Fair enough.
This Wheel of Time trailer. This looks like some fantasy thing to me. However, I only read about it a little bit and haven't had a chance to watch this trailer because I'm ill prepared.
I also did not watch the trailer.
I did.
There we go.
But do you guys know what Wheel of Time is?
No.
It's a very popular... very popular isn't the right word. It's not on the level of like Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones or Harry Potter. But it is.
Is it about a young girl who struggles with the burden of leadership?
Perhaps yes. I haven't read it myself, but it is in the fantasy like genre space of fans. It is a very popular series of books, and Amazon is adapting it into a TV show, a la Game. They're trying to hit that Game of Thrones kind of. It's high fantasy, elves and shit. I don't know if it's elves, but it's like it's medieval fantasy kind of stuff. It's hardcore drama. It's Amazon trying to get a Game of Thrones of their own, basically.
They can try.
Yeah, Adam, you're one of my best friends, but you totally missed that Ted Lasso reference.
What did I miss? What'd you say?
It's about a young girl struggling with the burden of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
About a wrinkle in time.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen that.
Oh, you got to get on it, dude.
Yeah. I got so many things in the catalog right now. It's
Dude, you can crank through it. I watched all of it in like a week.
You know, maybe. I don't know. I got to dress up and shit tomorrow. And
when's the next tax deadline?
April 15th.
Sounds to me like you got some time.
Hey, we got lives too sometimes, but not really.
Yeah, and your life is watching television and movies.
No, not true. Mostly, but not totally. And are you done with hype? Because I've got one.
We got two or three more if you're willing to sit through it. Okay, so the guy who plays the Lizard from Amazing Spider-Man and the guy who plays Sandman from Spider-Man 3 will both be in No Way Home.
Oh, fucking Sandman. Jesus Christ. Bring them all back. Fuck it.
We'll hit these quick. Ana de Armas I'm getting is worried. In Toxic Darna, John Wick spinoff.
I'm with Adam. No, I'm serious. Like, the more I hear about the...
That was about Spider-Man.
I know. The like, more I hear about this, the more I'm like...
I hope they pull it off, but if all these rumors are true and literally all these characters that are rumored end up in it,
They're each going to get 2 seconds of screen time.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is cool. If that's all they give them and then it's fine, that's cool. But if they try, if they try to go full send on every single character, there's no way it works. I don't know. We'll see.
Final piece of hype we have is that and this is more news than is hype. The Eternals is now the lowest rated MCU movie on Rotten Tomatoes at 61%, displacing Thor: The Dark World, which is at 67%.
That's pretty impressive to only be those are the lowest. I feel like that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, especially because those Spider-Man movies are garbage. Oh.
Damn.
I stand by what I said.
I don't know what to say about this. I probably won't see it until it comes out.
I'm not very excited about it, so...
coming to Disney Plus in Shang-Chi is coming in November.
I'll watch that.
I lied, so probably a little bit longer for Eternals.
Shang-Chi is good.
Okay.
You had unplanned hype, Scott Holmquist?
Yes, I did. So I guess I fall for clickbait. I mean, what can I say? I'm a human. But Jeepers Creepers Reborn. Jim, for whatever reason, discovered in the group chat before we had talked about Jeepers Creepers 2, and Anthony and I touched on this a little bit. There was some hype surrounding this new movie, and there was a countdown on a website called 23rdday.com. Well, that countdown was to announce the main actress. That they made a countdown for that. And then, like, 4 days later, I get an email that, in all red... which I don't know how long they took on this email, but it looked like 15 seconds. I don't know, but like a white backdrop, all red, evil is here. And it was a 12-second teaser trailer for this movie. Now, Jim, why this is important, there's a very important note about this that my brother discovered. This trailer was made by the same production company that made the trailer for Jeepers Creepers 3. And if you watch the trailer... for Jeepers Creepers 3, you're kind of like, hey, this might not be that bad. It is the worst fucking movie you will ever see in your life. So, to that company only make a 12-second teaser, I'm out. I think I'm out. I shouldn't have been in.
You're not out. You'll see it. You're going to see it.
And I'll probably fall for some more clickbait.
That's assuming it ever fucking comes to theaters.
I
can't imagine this getting a wide release the way they're doing this.
Probably be straight to streaming on like Shudder or something.
On the email chain, they have the address to their studio. Like you could send them a letter. I think I might.
Send them a strongly worded
letter.
What
am I going to say? Well,
bring Justin Long back.
Ooh. If they bring Justin Long back, I'm fully in. I'm like full send in. Absolutely. But anyway.
Did not take long to turn that around.
No. I mean, I'll change my mind quick. I'm sure we'll get a premiere trailer at some point and I'll be fully in. But my favorite comment so far was on a Twitter comment. It's somebody said they didn't bring back the old actor who plays the creeper, so they're out. Really? Like, that's what's going to drag you out? Is the guy who's in makeup, you're just out on that guy? Whatever. Fuck me for even acknowledging the existence of this. Jim, I'm kind of mad at you for turning me on to this, in a way. So, but...
You would have found it eventually. We were talking about the fact that this was ripe for a reboot anyways.
That Twitter account has 600 followers, and it's the official account of the movie.
That's
unreal.
There's no way that movie's good.
I'm going to watch it, though. And you know what? It's probably going to be an episode, so stay tuned, people. Anyway, let's do what we're here for. Let's get into Dune, because, you know, we've got quite a bit to talk about. And Jim, why don't you lead off with the IMDb, if you have it up?
I do.
Yeah, how do they try to describe
this? This is tough.
This is the feature adaptation of Frank Herbert's science fiction Smart. Novel about the son of a noble family entrusted with the protection of the most valuable asset and most vital element in the galaxy.
Spice.
Currently streaming on HBO Max and in theaters wherever you are. It's rated PG-13, 2 hours and 35 minutes.
Yeah.
The Spice Melange.
So, you know, I've thought about what I want to talk about this movie for, but where I'm going to land and where I'm going to kind of rely on you a little bit here, Adam, is I've been told that Star Wars and a lot of different sci-fi type films or books even have been adapted from this. And watching it, I was like, hold the fuck on. This is Star Wars at some points. And
Star Wars, especially the first...
Yeah.
Like... The beginning of New Hope is pulling so much from this movie. The desert planet, the Force, which is like the voice, and the Bene Gesserit, like their weird ways that they do things.
And so to that...
The Imperium. Right. Like, it's all... obviously, Star Wars is more kid-friendly action. It's a traditional space opera adventure where this is... much more fucked up, darker, has political themes, religious themes. A lot deeper
themes to it everywhere.
There's a big split there, but the base foundation. Right. Like, George Lucas read this book and he was like, I could do this.
This was right down to the borderline incest at some points, too, because there's a couple scenes in this first movie, the way the mom's looking at the kid and you're kind of like, what? You know? Like, we'll get there. Because I'm sure there's an explanation, but I don't know it yet. And I was kind
of... It's because she's one of the knockoff Jedi. Or Jedi or knockoff of her. So she's kind of like psychic-ish.
I see.
Because again, haven't read the novel here. Adam is the most knowledgeable, but she screams of knockoff Jedi.
Fair enough.
Even though she's the original product.
First of all, does anyone... Jim, you saw the David Lynch version of the movie, didn't you?
Yes.
No. So you have some sort of background?
Yes, I had that coming into this. And I actually... liked that movie, gave it a 6 out of 10.
Do you have any questions? Like, do you need anything cleared up for this?
I have one. Why do they like have to follow the Empire? Like, what happened to where this world, this is how it is? Or is that just like a Star Wars thing too, where this is just how it is, kind of? Jim,
can I buzz in? Isn't the Empire, like, the leader of the Bene Gesserit or whatever, or also has Bene Gesserit powers, which is why there's a reference made that the Emperor is threatened by the kid, what the fuck is his name? Paul Atreides.
No, I don't think so, but I don't know, if there are some, like, prequel novels that I haven't read that might go into some of this, but I think it is mostly, like, the stage is set, the Imperium, the Empire has all the power, and you have to do what they say, basically, because that's just how it is, because this is like 15,000 years in the future or whatever.
Yeah, it seems they have the power to come wipe you out if you don't listen. So,
yes, under threat of death. They have their whole planet of soldiers, the Sardaukar, they have all the other houses at their command.
Okay.
I have a question then.
Okay.
So, the spice that they are harvesting from the sand on the desert planet of Arrakis is both a drug, a currency, and people, in order to navigate the stars, need to be stoned on it in order to not bounce into a star or something.
Yes.
Is that statement accurate? I guess that wasn't a question.
You could boil it. It is just a drug. Like, that's all it is. The people take it to be able to do the space navigation, because it gives you power to kind of see in the future a little bit. Like, foresight.
Yeah, and that's why Paul has those visions.
Yes, when the first time he steps outside into the dunes, he like has extra visions because of the spice. I guess it could be a currency. Really, it's just because it's the most valuable resource. It's like
it's currency indirectly.
Yes, like platinum or gold or whatever. Like, it's not actual currency, but people want it so badly that you could do anything with it.
Well, I think another good thing I want to do with this review is point out things that I thought were cool, because I feel like you can go on the deeper side, Adam. I can go on the things that I thought were cool. First of all, Atreides, what a cool fucking name. And every time they chanted it, I was like, let's fucking go. So cool. Just the way...
Also, they all have incredible drip. Yeah,
dude.
Just such good fashion. Yeah, that entire family is
such so the whole swaggy. Costume department in this, phenomenal.
Yes.
First of all. I mean, the blue eyes on the... What are the...
I was worried...
I felt like Fremen. At times yes. The CG on that, not the best.
Really? See, and from the book, I was worried they wouldn't be able to pull it off well. And when I saw it in practice, I was impressed with how good it looked.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not terrible. And maybe I'm making my own shit up, but like I felt like there were at times where it felt a little bit too big for their eyes.
It could be.
But also, Jason Momoa. I mean, coolest character in this movie. In my opinion.
Spoilers. Ripped to my man, Duncan R. Idaho.
Duncan Idaho, but man, he had some cool ass scenes. And obviously his final scene was the coolest, but yes. Yeah, that was cool. The set, very cool. The worms, very fucking cool. I have no complaints about anything visually for this movie. Not one.
I don't either. I was curious how they would do the shields, mm-hmm. With, so if you didn't catch this, or for listeners who maybe didn't watch the movie, the way the shields work in the Dune universe is if something's moving too fast, it just bounces off the shield, which is why people don't use guns, because if you shoot a bullet, it'll just bounce off. This is why everyone just carries swords instead, even though it's like 15,000 years in the future.
Which is cool.
So
In the Duncan Idaho scene where he's fighting in the hallway, they all seem to be moving pretty quick and still going through
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to do an action scene. Like, it shows them bouncing off most of the time, and then I guess you're supposed to interpret that they get one of these slower stabs in whenever it flashes red and somebody goes down, but it looks like the same kind of speed, which I guess is maybe not great, but I don't know how you choreograph that.
Do you then make that not boring?
Right. I was impressed with how they showed it, though. When the shield gets actually penetrated by something moving slow enough to penetrate it, it flashes red as opposed to the normal blue glow of it. I thought that was very cool and a good way to illustrate how the shields are working or failing at any given moment.
Mm-hmm. Now, where we'll draw on the Star Wars theme again here is... Paul is clearly like the chosen one, or at least that is kind of what is portrayed through this movie.
He's like Luke. He's got some powers, but he doesn't know how to use them yet. He's being trained by somebody at the beginning of it, kind of his mother, and towards the end he's going to be taken by the Fremen too, and he'll end up learning.
There is a great question. What is exactly this art form where they can use someone to do whatever they want, essentially? Like, they're getting them to...
It's called the voice. It's the same thing as the Force Jedi mind trick, basically.
Dude, okay.
These are not the droids you're looking for. In effect,
yeah. It's supposed to be more like you're using such a strong tone of voice and eye contact and other certain things that the person is just so compelled that they do it without thinking and before they even realize it.
So...
It's supernatural
or anything, is what you're trying to say?
It's not really supposed to be, no. It's supposed to be training, concentration, tone of voice, stuff like that. It's like when, like, a really charismatic person, like a con man almost. Like
a cult leader like Scott?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well said. cult leader is maybe a bit on the nose for someone who hasn't seen the second half of this story, but yes. but yes, it's like a cult leader who asks someone to do it, and you're like, they're so persuasive in that moment, you almost do it without thinking. Obviously, this is a weird space religious thing, so like, there's some supernatural, this isn't real.
But or they believe it's supernatural, whether or not it is.
Yes. In theory, with training from a young enough age, anyone could do it. It's not some sort of supernatural gift in the Dune universe.
So it doesn't bind us, penetrate us, or hold the galaxy together?
No, it does not. It is not the Force.
So, we're
getting in the weeds here.
Yeah, but... were people mad at George Lucas for this shit? I mean, because this is so ripped, like straight ripped off, right? I mean,
I don't think so.
Dune didn't get super popular, it seems, until later. I mean,
but you would think
necessarily guarantee
person
that.
Who wrote the book would be like, you know, like it's that Leo DiCaprio meme where they're just like, hey, you know, like the whole fucking movie. I feel like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm really not sure what his reaction to it, to Star Wars
Fair
was.
Enough. And I guess if you're an author, you know, you want people to play off your creativity in the end, and that's kind of what Lucas did. But yeah, I just so many themes in this movie. I was like, what the fuck? Are we gonna see Darth soon? You know. But so let's see. What else do we need to cover here? Jim, what about you? What did you like of the movie?
I really liked all of the settings. You know, we got to see the Atreides homeworld, got to go to Arrakis in the city in their like tunnels that they have, and then go out to see the Fremen and then their underground tunnels. I really liked that, seeing the architecture of the planet.
I thought all the ship designs were really good.
Yeah, the dragonfly ships are sick.
Yes. Ornithopters.
It's also like really interesting. I like that they went with that design, and to be frank, I can't remember if that was a design from the original movie or not.
It's described as that in the book, so I don't know if it's
okay.
The David Lynch
one. I don't know if they had the technology at the time to do it, though. Yeah. But the rhythmic sort of wing beats, and they talk about how the rhythm of stuff is what draws the sandworms.
Yeah,
so
yeah, the walk was kind of interesting that...
And you only see him do it for like fucking 10 seconds. I was a little annoyed about
that. He didn't just do it the whole time. He was basically just walking through the desert without...
Well, he knew about it, you know.
I thought the same thing, but I'll tell you, that walk looked like it would have been annoying to do the entire way through a desert, so...
Well, yeah, but if you were raised from the time you're born as a Fremen and taught to do that, you know, then it's just normal.
Was he?
He wasn't, but I'm saying the Fremen should just do it all the time.
That's true, too. Now, what is the mother's connection here, Adam? There's another question for me. Like, what would be, I guess you could ask, what is her race in this, like, what is she?
So there's a religious political order called the Bene Gesserit, which basically trains women to do these things like the voice and political operations and basically spy stuff too. So they get trained in this religious order, and then they basically go out to each of like the powerful houses, like the one who gives Paul the test with the pain box thing.
The Reverend Mother.
She is like the direct attendant to the Emperor from this religious order. So she's like the top of the top at the Emperor's side, whereas Jessica is to Duke Leto Atreides.
Okay.
I don't know that the Harkonnens have one specifically, but there's the one that visits them in that one scene and talks to him in that, like, Cone of Silence thing.
Okay. And is she... So she doesn't seem like... I don't know what side she's on.
It seems to me as though she was placed with Leto Atreides to report back to the Bene Gesserit to one degree or another. Adam,
but she does love him. She is on the Atreides' side. But also she is just kind of on, not her own side, but her kid's side, because Paul, and then they mentioned that she's pregnant. Did you catch that?
I did, yeah. No, I did, now that I'm thinking about it, because Paul says that.
So now that most of the Atreides house is dead, she's on her kid's side, and then also the Bene Gesserit's side of fulfilling this prophecy.
I suppose we should mention Oscar Isaac is pretty cool in this, too.
Oscar Isaac is very good as
his beard is amazing. It is. He does, of course, die, and it's kind of a disappointing death the way that he does die, because that scene with the actual attack on what would have been, what town were they in? It was where they were.
Arrakeen.
Yes, that was a fucking cool scene. Everything was dark, and the only lights you're getting are these bombs slowly penetrating their shields and like blooping in and blowing up.
So you didn't like When he finally cracked the poison tooth.
That was cool. I forgot that that's how he died. My bad.
But I was going to say, because that was so death. Fucking intense, he, that's when he died, and I loved it.
He doesn't actually die in the scene you were thinking
correct.
Of.
He doesn't yeah. die. He just gets, like, paralyzed, and then the person who sold him out puts a tooth in his mouth that will poison the entire room. What kind of piss...
Which,
Who was that? Who...
The one who sold him out is maybe my one complaint.
Okay.
His name is Dr. Yue. He's around throughout the beginning of the movie. He checks Paul's vitals a couple times, but it never really explains who he is, which I understand why it was cut from the book. It's not super important, and then he just betrays them, and then he gets killed too. It's not...
Mm.
But his motivations are explained more in the book, and there's a whole plot line in the books where they get tipped off that there's a traitor, but they don't know who it is. So they're in Arakeen for longer before the actual thing happens. But, like, this is already a 2.5-hour movie, and it's only half of a book. I understand why it got cut. It gets to the same place. But I was maybe a little disappointed to see his time get cut down and the whole who is the traitor plot line get cut
yeah,
down.
Yeah, and...
Because there's a whole reason why they don't suspect him, too, which I won't get
and
to.
And I feel like...
That dot on his head.
I feel like they kind of redeemed him by... putting the tooth in a little bit. I mean, not much, but like enough to be like, yeah, this guy still is kind of
he's,
on our side.
Yeah, even in the book, he's not made out as right. a bad person. He's doing it because he wants to get his wife back, who is the Harkonnens don't keep their bargain anyway.
And who
she's
can really
she's
argue
dead,
against
but,
wanting
yeah,
that?
No, it's
you know,
a fair.
And it's hard to say that that's bad motivation.
Fair compromise, yeah. And then we get the scene where. The Emperor is right in Oscar Isaac's face, and I forget what he's...
Not the Emperor.
Just the leader of the Harkonnens.
He is not the Emperor.
Yeah, Baron. No, that is Baron Vladimir Harkonnen.
And he is played by a guy from Good Will Hunting.
Stellan Skarsgård. Yeah. Yeah, the Emperor does not appear in this movie, actually.
That is not the Emperor. Okay, Anthony and I were confused. Or maybe it was just me. That was probably just me, if I had to guess. Because he probably would have caught on to that. I didn't. But... I want.
Can we talk for a minute about what we don't like? If you guys have anything at all, I guess.
I don't have anything.
Lead it off, Jim.
I don't, actually.
Dave Bautista's an awful actor. He has no
he has
nuance
like
to him whatsoever.
Scenes,
he
yeah.
just fucking shouts. That's all he's got.
Well, what did you need him to do?
Have some sort of nuance?
I mean his yelling
it
scene
just feels
was
as though...
intense. I feel like it was limited dialogue, but it was pretty good, I thought. And
I'm assuming we'll see more of him in part two, I feel like, once the Harkonnens come
like,
back
but,
to Arrakis, or no?
Not a ton. That is his character. He's the big bruiser. He's, like, one of the generals of the Harkonnen army, but really he's just a big dude who fucks people up. He doesn't really have much character.
So you didn't like him?
His cousin or brother or someone who should be in part two, he's not been cast yet, will be the more of the Harkonnen...
That must be where my confusion and dislike is coming from, because I thought there were two underlings to the Baron in the original movie, and that's
where
I'm confused.
There is Raban, who is Dave Bautista, and there's Fade Rautha, who has
Dave
not
Bautista,
appeared
I still
yet.
Don't think you're a good actor, but I will take back my comments.
You don't like him in Guardians
I mean,
of the Galaxy?
I mean, Drax is supposed to be a one-trick pony, but mm-hmm. I think that just plays to his poor acting.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, he... It wasn't enough to make me mad. Like, he was so limited in the movie.
He's one note, but that's that character. Yeah. So I don't have a huge problem with it, but I see where you're coming from.
I can accept it. I'm willing to change my
opinion. They used him to try to get views. They're targeting an audience, which isn't very large.
Which is the same thing they did with Jason Momoa.
Right. And that,
but he was much more palatable in this, I felt.
Well, and Momoa is just way cooler as well. Jason Momoa might be the coolest guy in the world. Maybe.
We also have not said Josh Brolin's name yet in this discussion, and he was very cool.
Who is he?
He's the older Atreides general.
Oh, yes, yes.
Gurney Halleck.
Yes,
yeah.
He's very cool.
Who he leads them out on the when everything's exploding during the attack.
I'm
going to
guess he's not.
He's yelling Atreides.
I'm going to guess he's not dead.
He doesn't get a huge amount of screen time in the movie, in this one at least.
Yeah.
I knew I recognized that face. Didn't know who it was till you said something.
Yeah, that's Josh Brolin. Yeah. Thanos himself.
That's right. Fuck. Yeah, he was cool because him and Paul have a good relationship, and that's pretty fun to watch. That was all you didn't like, Jim? You're just tossing Dave Bautista down the stairs for his 2.5 minutes in the movie?
Yeah, I am.
Fair enough.
I'm not a Batista fan.
That's all right. We did have a discussion in the group chat this week that we are not fans of The Rock either. I still am, but these two, not so much. So,
yeah, well, he's not missing.
It would make sense that you wouldn't like Dave Batista. That's fair.
I used to watch WWE. I like WWE. I think he was a good wrestler, as I said about The Rock as well. However, my current opinion is that he's the most overrated person on the planet.
Fair enough. I want to talk about my favorite scene of the movie. Was the fight between Paul and the what is the name of the people? When he finally meets Zendaya, and he has to fight a Fremen. This scene's intense.
Jameis.
Yes, and this guy is basically like, no, I'm not going to follow Paul. I'm going to use this age-old trick to say, hey, if I beat you in combat, we don't have to follow you. And, man, this scene gets intense because Paul's first thought when they're fighting is he kind of gets him in a position and just goes, do you yield? And all the Fremen are like, dude, what the fuck, man? You can't do that. And the way they're just taken back by him being like, do you yield? They're like, no, you can't do that. And the death itself it's just pretty intense because the mom says Paul's never killed before. Like, he doesn't know how to do this. And I don't know. It was a pretty emotional scene because, like, you're not led to believe that the Fremen are bad people. But, like, this is their way of proving respect by someone that you have to kill them. It was a pretty intense scene. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I really liked it, too.
And
so,
go ahead.
Did you recognize the guy from earlier in the movie?
Yes. So
he's in one of Paul's visions.
He is. Yes.
One of Paul's more detailed visions. He sees himself with Zendaya. Chani is her character's name. And he sees his mom with a bunch of tattoos and the baby and everything. And then he sees himself along with Jameis, this guy he kills eventually, as friends. Like, I think Jameis says, I will teach you everything you need to know about our people in the desert.
Ooh,
and then
that's deep.
He meets him, and then as you talked about the scene, Jameis does not like him, and they end up having Mortal Kombat, and then Jameis is killed.
Wow. Yeah, and after Paul asks him to
yield,
he's told to finish him.
So yes. It's deep.
Good one, Jim.
Think
so at first you're like, are Paul's visions wrong?
Right. But
or bare minimum at least in flux.
Yes. But also he learns a lot about the Fremen and the desert culture from fighting Jameis.
Yes.
So even if Jameis did not actively teach him things like a teacher or mentor, this encounter with him taught him a lot about what he will need to know as he becomes one of them. So there's that, and it goes back to one of the first scenes of the movie when he's talking to the Reverend Mother after he does his Gamjabar test. She asks if he often has visions that come true, and he says not exactly, which is what this is.
Yeah, I thought this was a great way to basically tail the movie here, kind of leading into him being with the Fremen, because obviously he's having quite a few visions of Zendaya. Can't blame him.
He has that one of him in a general's suit leading them into battle, and then another one of them leading them literally conquering other planets.
Yeah.
So he's going to maybe be with
them. He has blue eyes in these visions as well.
He has blue eyes in these visions, which means he's been there for a while, has been eating spice for a while.
Yes, and then, basically, the end of this movie, the Fremen are kind of like, well, you know, essentially the kings of the desert. We get a dude riding a fucking worm. That was where I was like,
Did you know that was coming,
no,
Scott?
Of course not.
That's the ecologist lady from earlier, right? Dr. Kynes, isn't it?
It is not. She's dead.
Oh.
Damn.
But you get a hint at it right before she dies.
I didn't catch it.
Because she tells Paul and Jessica to take the ornithopter and go wherever to meet up with the Fremen, and they do. And Paul asks what she's going to do, and she said I'm Fremen. I know my way through the desert. And she walks out. She gets those hooks out, and she puts the thumper down to call the worm, and she gets the hooks out. And it's, like, coming.
Yes.
And I knew it was coming. It was her that was riding it, because she had the hooks out.
Yes. But before she gets on it, she gets stabbed in the back by a Sardaukar.
That's right.
And then don't all of them get eaten, a couple of Sardaukar and her?
Yes. By a worm.
That is a cool scene.
Reeks of Sarlacc pit.
Yes, it does. It's a very cool change from the book, because in the book, she just stays in her study with all the plants because she's like an ecologist or whatever, and the Sardaukar come in and kill her. But this is good for people because it gives that foreshadowing of, like, what's she doing with those hooks? Why would she call a worm? It gives you some stuff to think about and maybe pick up on till the end here, where you see somebody riding.
Yeah, and this is kind of, this is where Dune Part 1 tails off. You know, and that, to your point there, Jim, when they showed the opening sequence and it said Dune Part 1, I think we could have assumed a sequel was coming. It'd be pretty stupid not to, if you were going
Well,
to...
I mean, you knew they wanted one.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We knew the whole time this was only the first half of the book.
Right. Right. So I guess in a way you could have just left it with Dune Part 1 and, like, hey, well, read the book and then you can figure out what happens. But you're really left with that, like... this is just the beginning of the journey.
Apparently the guy wants in total just a trilogy, which, Adam, how many books do we got here?
There's six.
So, yeah, there are four books written by Frank Herbert, and then two more, I think, six, written by his son, which people think are probably not quite as good.
Fair.
I have only read the first one thus
The
far.
Trilogy would only be based off of the first two books, is that right?
Correct. He would cover the first book in the first two movies, and I have not read the second one. I want to. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. Denis Villeneuve, the director, thinks he can cover that one in one movie, so it'd be a trilogy of movies.
All right.
And from what I've read, it makes sense.
An action-packed movie, sounds like.
Yeah. After the second book, it is no longer really about Paul.
Yeah.
Kind of similar to, like, I don't even know what to compare it to, but it kind of, like, skips generations to his descendants, Paul's descendants, after that. So it wouldn't really be the same story.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, that pretty much puts a bow on Dune Part 1. You know what, Jim? I want to lead off with your score. Let's start with you.
I'm giving it a 9 out of 10. I absolutely love this movie. Ticks all my boxes in terms of sci-fi. Very excited to read the book. You know, when something inspires you to go back to the source material, I think it's really been a success as material on its own. So I'm pretty excited to read the book now.
Okay. I will go next. I also gave it a 9 out of 10. Easy watch. Had fun with it the entire time. Really enjoyed learning a new, you know, with no... absolutely no expectations coming into a sci-fi world. It was just cool to kind of, you know, learn it as I was going. Obviously, this led to my review being a little lower because I don't know the terminology quite yet. I mean, this was my first introduction to it. But also, you throw in a fucking sick-ass ending fight with Duncan Idaho, played by Jason Momoa, like, where you think he's dead and he just rises up. You're like, yeah, let's fucking go. Had everything I needed, wanted in it. Looks like a love story is brewing as well. So really, everything you'd want in a sci-fi movie, I feel like. So I think a 9 out of 10 is the right score. And I'm very curious to see how Part 2 does. Because as Anthony said, this could leak into the 10 out of 10 world as well, depending on where it goes. So...
I'm right there with both of you and Anthony. Anthony specifically. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. I absolutely loved it. But if they hit Part 2 out of the park as well as they did this one, and everything kind of connects over from the first one, kind of like some of the Lord of the Rings movies where, like, you watch one and you just want to watch the next one because the storylines flow so well from movie to movie, I could retroactively see myself giving this a 10. Like, I need to see them stick the landing before I give it that extra point. But even on its own, this movie is beautiful. The characters are well written. The CGI, the music, the set design, everything is just amazing sci-fi. Like, I love it so much. I just was hanging out with my kid and we didn't have anything to do. I just watched the first 45 minutes on HBO Max before this podcast. Like, it's very good. I'm curious.
I'm notorious to see for sitting down watching half of a movie and then never going back to it.
Yeah, that's right. I'll probably watch the rest of it multiple times over the next couple of years before the next one comes out. But I loved it. I'm curious to see what people think of part two, where it goes. We had some discussion of Paul being the chosen one, but can you call someone the chosen one when there was a religious order planting quote unquote prophecies in other cultures for thousands of years and then just sending a guy to fulfill them? Are you chosen?
Salty that he was male. Excuse me.
No, he's supposed to be male. If he is the quote unquote the one, he's supposed to be male.
Wow. Well,
they're salty that they're not sure if he is the one yet, and they're not sure if they're ready to spring their religious prophecies that are really just them planting seeds in people's cultures for thousands of years.
Where was this skepticism when Jesus was around?
I mean, that skepticism still exists.
I had to say it. But no, I...
You think there might be a correlation there?
I don't know. I
think maybe that might be a theme.
I wonder.
Seeing as they called him the Messiah
hard
when he showed
say.
Up on in Arrakis.
Hard to say where this came from, you know?
You think there also might be some correlations of
Mary
some...
Well, Mary action with the pregnancy? I don't know.
Maybe.
That's what I'm saying. But,
I mean, do they have paternity tests 15,000 years in the future?
I feel like they should. I don't know. But
how does the result come back as God?
Let's say this right here, right now. 2 years from now, when we watch the next movie, we have the right to retroactively score this film. Let's say that.
Yes.
I think that's fair because it's too hard to... If this is the start of a trilogy, we need to see the rest before we can give an accurate score. Because this could easily be a 10. This could be the best one. I don't know. Or the next one could get better. Who knows? So... Timestamp.
Maybe the next one is so good we come back and lower our 104 scores.
Episodes from now, when we're doing Dune Part 2, which that's probably around the time frame we will be, we can.
It's pretty close.
We can move back to episode 59. So I'm just gonna allow that right now. But
let's just stay away from the political themes. There's got to be some other themes, like maybe some rich countries or planets going to a desert space and taking a fossil fuel / space travel kind of thing from the natives.
Like.
See, you know, some analogies there.
Oil?
You know, like oil
land?
Or, you know, spice? Maybe some
land.
Land.
I don't know.
Yeah, and all the Fremen wanted was for them to be out of their desert.
It's interesting. That's interesting. We could... We didn't hit the right themes.
Maybe there's a cult of personality of Paul leading a holy war across the universe.
Interesting.
With native people behind
him. Some sort
him.
Of crusade.
Going to their non-native places to win or fight.
Maybe not great from literally every angle.
Fair point.
All I'm saying is maybe rewatch this movie with the idea that
he's not a good guy.
Paul is not the hero, even though the Harkonnens are obviously worse.
And then read the Bible the same way.
Correct.
There we go. Okay. That wraps up Dune, part one, and episode 59. Wait, no. Jim, we have trivia. Let's do it. Anthony, you're gone, so suck my dick. You can't play and gain points. We'll find
out. Okay, let's remind of the rules. You get the options, and the first person to raise their hand and answer correctly gets 2 points. You get 1 point on a steal.
But you don't have to wait for the options if you raise your hand if you know it.
You don't.
Stupid to do.
Are you guys ready for question one?
I'm ready.
Sorry, say that again. Do I have to raise my hand or just say the
raise
answer?
Raise your hand, because then I'll call on you. Otherwise, it's just a mess for recording.
And this is Halloween themed, correct?
It is horror themed.
Mm.
What movie is based off an Anne Rice novel?
What?
Options are Halloween, Alien, Final Destination, or Interview with the Vampire. Adam.
Interview with a Vampire.
That is correct.
Fuck! Does he get 1 point?
That was 2.
Because oh man.
First person to answer even with options gets 2 points.
Is Adam going to have more points than me by the end of this?
I mean, if you do really poorly, he could.
Mm.
What is Stephen King's highest grossing film adaptation? The Pet Sematary remake. Oh, Scott.
It.
Expound.
1990 It.
You're wrong.
Fuck.
So options are The Pet Sematary remake, It Chapter 1, Dr. Sleep, or The Shining.
I mean, it's pretty obvious now, right?
Adam.
It Chapter 1, which is what, like 2000, whatever?
Yeah.
So
that's correct.
If that other movie went straight to fucking TV, didn't it? God damn it.
Correct. Ugh. It was a miniseries in reality.
What an idiot. All right. Moving on.
What is the house number for the house in the original Nightmare on Elm Street? Options are 1428, 1313, 2563, or 1666.
Oh, I should know this.
Scott?
I think it's 2563?
Mm-mm. You are incorrect. Adam, care to venture a guess?
You might need to...
Do I lose points if I get it wrong?
You do not. Otherwise, Scott wouldn't have
1666.
That is also incorrect. It is 1428. Okay. That one was the hardest one.
Yeesh. Tough day for Scott.
Next question. What is the actual name of Chucky in Child's Play? Options... Oh, Scott.
Charles.
You need more.
Oh, come on. I need the last name?
Is this a Chuck E. Cheese kind of thing? Charles Entertainment Cheese?
No. Do I need the last name?
Yes.
Fuck.
Options are Chilton Ronald, Chuck House, Charles Lee Ray, or Charlie Bills.
He got Charles. Give it
Come
to
on.
Him.
I'll give you a point, Scott. How does that sound?
Did you guys know that, though? The E in Chuck E. Cheese is Entertainment?
I see.
Charles Entertainment Cheese?
That's a great name.
I did not know it was Entertainment. That's sweet.
Name. Yes. That's a good
That's
good
a
name.
Piece of trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chuck E. Cheese.
Fuck.
Okay, the mask Michael Myers wears is what actor's face from the 1975 film The Devil's Reign?
Shit, I just read this.
Options are Ernest Borgnine, Eddie Albert, Tom Skerritt, or William Shatner. Adam.
It's William Shatner.
That is correct.
Wow, so that mask is his face with the eyes cut out?
It's William Shatner's face, and then they spray painted it white. Because the original Halloween had no budget, so they had to use masks that were already.
Yeah, they literally
on hand.
Went to like a costume
Did you
shop.
Guys watch this special on Netflix yet? There's three movies that they talk about this stuff about.
No.
Movies
that made me.
Yeah, and Halloween was one of them, and I was gonna watch it, and I would have fucking got some points there. Wow, William Shatner. Wow. All right, Jim.
New standings. Anthony has 14 points, Scott has 9, and Adam has 7 after
Get
only been through two attempts at trivia.
Here. How many attempts have I had?
5 or 6 at this
Holy
point.
Holy shit. I feel like you dicked me on the Charles question there, but that's just me. I mean, the fact that I knew that is stupid in the first place, because that's terrible.
I mean, but who doesn't know that Chucky is short for Charles?
But, yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Someday I will catch up in the trivia department. So now that wraps up episode 59 of the We've Seen That podcast. And I bet you're all wondering, what are we going to do next week? Well, next week we're getting on the Gerard Butler train and we're going to watch Olympus Has Fallen, streaming on Netflix. And I got to just say, it's a fucking doozy. So get ready for that one because it's going to be a lot of fun. But with that, again, Adam, thank you as always for coming. Before we go, though, Jim, where can the people find us?
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at @weave_seen_that. Like us on Facebook or email us at seenthatpodcast@gmail.com. That's S-C-E-N-E, thatpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. So, again, Adam, thank you. It's always good to have
you. Yeah, thanks for
always
having
good
me.
To have you back, and especially in a movie where I feel like we kind of need you. You're kind of our guide through this world, and we'll have you back on.
Beyond a resource for us.
We'll have you back on Dune sooner
rules.
Than 2 years, but
Spice Must
for
flow.
Sure you will be on in 2 years for Dune Part 2. Lock it in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Contract set.
Start clearing your schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
I'll be first in line to see that movie because I'm already hyped.
So. That must mean the book's good. And I'm contemplating reading the book before the movie, but someone told me it's a hard read, and I am very offended that they said that to me because I think...
It's dense. As you may have noticed from the movie, there's a lot of proper nouns.
Fair enough.
I tried once before to listen to the audiobook, which some people argue to me isn't reading. I wouldn't say that it's reading, but I don't think that it's not reading.
I count it.
And it was incredibly tough. I couldn't listen to it.
It's a dense text, but I think it's worth it. I might reread it. It was really good. The movie's got me back on the train. Like, I don't know.
Okay. All right. Now, quick question. Is Jim, are you dressing up for Halloween?
I am not.
Adam?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, I'll just reveal my costume on the air then. We're putting Smarties on my pants, and I'm going to be Smarty Pants. You know what that's called? Is a last minute costume, folks, right there.
Talk about
just
dad
jokes.
Buddy,
be a smart ass.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I saw one today in the Halloween store that was just a stuffed animal you shove in your pants, and it had one eye. So it's supposed to be funny because it's a one-eyed monster. I think that's the most offensive thing I've ever seen. Because if I saw someone wearing that, I'd be like, you need to be put in jail, more than likely. And
I don't even find it like offensive from like that. It's not funny or good,
like,
or anything.
If someone's wearing that and they're like, this is funny, I think they need to be in jail.
You guys are just too evolved for it. That's what it is.
Maybe we're not fun anymore. Maybe that's what it is. But okay. Well, thanks again for listening to episode 59 of the We've Seen That podcast, and also happy Halloween. With that being said, I'm Scott.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Jim, and roll credits.